I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I started with a 1-3-part episode from Aces Soccer Club. This week, I interviewed Ben and Jordan. Now, as we go through this episode, I hope you understand I broke it up in three parts because we had over 2.5 hours of recording, and I thought this would be the best way of doing it, and it just abruptly ends. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
My name is Ben Clarvis. I am originally from England, Plymouth, England, so right down south, and grew up with soccer, or football, as obviously we say in England. But, you know, everything, like your son said, right? I mean, I didn't want to go to school. All I wanted to do was play football, and, you know, that was my dream to go professionally. I left home just after 10 and 15 to go and play for Plymouth Argyle, and I was there for about 3 years. Unfortunately, was injured for 2 of those 3 years, and really couldn't compete as much as I wanted to in that opportunity. So once I got cut, I kind of, you know, had really pushed school to the side, and didn't really know what I was going to do. Couldn't go into university in England, so luckily, could get accepted over in America on a soccer scholarship, and it didn't really matter about your grades then, as long as you could play, right? So, you know, I wanted to continue the dream, so came over to Midwestern State in Wichita Falls, which is a very very different place to England, I can tell you that. But absolutely loved my time there. People from all over the world. Our team consists of, you know, Brazilians and Africans, Europeans. I mean, there were all sorts of people coming to Wichita Falls. And I loved my time there. And really just to kind of make a bit of money, I started trying to coach and kind of fell in love with it as I started doing it and grew more and more into the coaching and got more and more interested. And once I graduated, I kind of carried in the college game, did a master's at Quincy University, which is in Illinois. And then my wife's from Sherman, so kind of came back to this area and looked for a club. And Sammy O'Lally is the owner of the club and director. And I had a meeting with him, and, you know, I was hesitant to go into club soccer from experiences in the past. And, you know, you, like a player, right? As a coach, you want to feel that you have the right fit, going in, and you really want to, make sure that it aligns with your principles, your values as well, and not just kind of going into a club just to coach, right? And I was kind of wary on that. So, but no, I really think Aces kind of fitted me well, and I've been there for just over 4 years now. So, been there for a while and loved it all. So here we are.
My name is Jordan Copey. I grew up here in Plano, Texas. I've lived here my whole life. Kind of similar to you, Ian. My parents are from up north, and granted, not New York. They were Midwest. They were in Iowa. Grew up in Iowa, so obviously in the state of Iowa, you know, soccer was definitely not a priority in any way, shape, or form for them. And then just like your son, you know, when my brother and I grew up, we loved soccer from day one. I genuinely did not ever play another sport. I think it was from age three, and my love of the game was just immense. My playing career here, you know, it's kind of a unique story, but I started at Aces when I was 8 years old. Sammy O'Lally, the owner of the club, was my coach from 8 to 18 years old. And, he was really a mentor for me from my very first playing days all the way through to my very first coaching days. So, you know, I've been at Aces now for 20 years now. And you know, I've loved every step of the way. You know, I could tell you my whole journey from, you know, how I found Aces was, you know, one of my teammates in recreational soccer. His dad was getting into academy soccer, and genuinely he told my dad, you know, if you go to Aces, you'll never turn back. And genuinely 20 years down the line, that's proven to be very, very true. My family's always had a big role within Aces as well. My mom was the team manager for my team all those years as well. And, you know, my dad helped out in any capacity that he could. You know, I graduated in 2012 and went to Dallas Baptist University. Had a short time there, only played 1 year. And then, you know, essentially just didn't really enjoy my time. You know, from there I started coaching camps, and then I got a call from Sammy one day who asked if I wanted to come back and coach. And I've been at Aces for 8 years now coaching. And you know, like I said, you know, the same person that mentored me as a player then mentored me as a coach. And, you know, now 8 years on, I've never thought about coaching anywhere else but at Aces. So, pretty straightforward for me. It's definitely not as colorful of a career as Coach Ben, that's for sure. But, you know, everything I've learned as a player at Aces and the process that my team went through is really the process that I love being able to relive as a coach, being on the other side of it. The process for Aces has never changed ever since I played to now. I mean, we do things the exact same way, and the results prove to be the exact same as well. So it's a heck of a process and a heck of a journey. And honestly, I just love being a part of it.
It's amazing what your soccer journey brings you and where you end up.
Yeah.
The paths you cross and the people you meet along the way.
Oh, absolutely.
So Sammy's the owner. So the club has been around for how long then?
I'm not entirely sure exactly, Jordan, but you were one of the first teams to do it, weren't you, Jordan?
Yeah. The 94s was the third Aces team out there. So I want to say we got started in 2001. We used to practice on any any park that, you know, we wouldn't get kicked out of. We started at, I remember, Crowley Park over in Richardson. And, oh gosh, there was a baseball diamond that we used to practice on over there. Holford Park is where we originated way back then. And genuinely, we bounced around just based off what field space we could find and where we were allowed to play. And yeah, that was the very first origin of the club. And then we got Fairview Soccer Park when I was a sophomore in high school. And man, that's been our home ever since.
Crazy. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, that's how I feel like they all start. So what do you guys call your guys? A medium club, a large club, small club in the Metroplex then? What would you guys call yourself size-wise?
Yeah.
Or comparable to?
You know, I'd say kind of medium, you know. You know, we're not the biggest thing that we try and kind of pride ourselves on is that kind of family atmosphere, family kind of culture. So, you know, we have our main facility, the Fairview Soccer Park, and all teams, you know, in our McKinney area will train there. And so everyone kind of can see everyone. All the coaches will kind of know all the players from every kind of team. Now, we have just started the East Division over there in Rowlett that has, I think, 5 or 6 teams now and is slowly growing. So we are planning on kind of having that division, which will grow. We've also have 30 acres in Anna, which we plan to open this time next summer. And we're hoping to, you know, build a stadium out there, 6 or 7 turf fields out there as well, and try and sort of grow in Anna as well. So, you know, I'd say we're a medium sized club, but we don't want to just grow in any way, right? And just kind of have teams all everywhere where they're not then representing the club the right way, but to kind of do it in facilities. We've got a turf field now in Rowlett where they all train on the east side. We've got our Fairview Soccer Park where we all train, and hopefully now in Anna we'll have a place where all those teams will train. So, you know, we're never going to be, you know, a large club and be completely everywhere, because it just kind of goes against the philosophy of how we go. But I think, you know, we're always looking to grow and add, but making sure it's the right fit and the right way that we grow, really, that we still kind of have the values and the culture there. So
you talked about some family, being family oriented. Now, what are some of the, going along that same line, what are some of the values or philosophies of the club then?
Oh man, we have it posted all the time. It's development is the goal, winning is the result. You know, I always like to, even when I coach, hark back to the days that I played for Coach Sammy, and you know, it's one of my dad's favorite stories to tell. But the first meeting Coach Sammy ever had with our team, you know, he genuinely told us at 8 years old, you know, we're gonna lose some games really, really badly, but I genuinely don't care about the score. I just care about how your kids play and that they're learning. And it's always been the truest thing for our teams going all the way through. I even said the same thing to my 2014 team when I first got them, when they were 6 years old, was, you know, same message. We're going to lose some games, but the score right now is irrelevant. And really what we focus on is just making sure that the kids understand, you know, how the game works, so that when results truly do matter, you know, we can be really, really competitive there. So, you know, really that motto is probably the biggest cultural thing that we have going on, is that development is the goal, winning is the result, and all the things, all the lessons that, you know, defeats and, you know, trying to do things the right way, teach you. You know, honestly, I mean, one of the biggest things I think I learned through my process of being an Aces player was, you know, how to persevere and how to get through to the other side when you're going through a really, really difficult time. Especially, you know, I mean, gosh, I remember losing games 8 or 9 to 0 to later on in life when sophomore, junior in high school, winning against those same teams 4-0. That transition was just amazing, and to be able to live it. And then, you know, now be on the other side of it, be able to coach it, is amazing. But yeah, I would say culturally, that would be the biggest thing that we have going on at Aces, where, you know, that the character building through focusing on the development just breeds a lot in the kids.
Yeah, and just to kind of back that up, there's, you know, we're in a world where parents and even coaches, right, results are kind of, everyone feels like you kind of get judged on results. So it's hard to kind of, to really put down the message. And luckily we've got a lot of teams that have been through it, and we've got parents that can come back and vouch for our academy teams. And obviously we do lose players in the academy side that want to go to winning teams right away and kind of want to skip that process. But, you know, if you actually look at all of our older teams, they're all competing kind of Classic League One and getting into Dallas Cup and winning State Cup and it happens. And they've all been on that same road, and it's difficult at times, right? But, you know, we want to put our teams in the most challenging leagues and to challenge them as much as they can at a young age, because we really think that, you know, if they can do that and get that exposure at the young age, and even if they're losing then they can build, you know, character as well as kind of the development of how they want to play. And it changes quickly, especially once you get to select. And you'll really see these teams kind of blossom. But it is a process, and you know, it's we're in a world where, especially in club soccer, right, where everyone thinks the grass is greener other places, and you know, it's a tough sell at times. But you know, we really believe in doing it the right way and teaching the game, you know, the right way, where, you know, we're going to want to play out the back and try and build through the lines. And obviously at the younger ages, when you've got athletic teams that are going to press, it's not going to be as successful. But now in those older age groups, now they're technically even better, and they've been used to playing under pressure that way, then it can kind of evolve and you'll see them blossom on that front. So that's kind of, yeah, our philosophy and how we want to do. And also culturally, you'll see once you get to select, a lot of these Aces teams will stay together all the way through. And you know, we recruit in certain ways, but we really try and keep that core together for throughout the whole time. And we're not just going to go and suddenly one year go and get a whole brand new team of recruits of better players and change it. We really want to stick with our group, and this is our group. And maybe, you know, you're always going to lose one or two and bring in one or two, but it's definitely a core group all the way through. And you'll see that. And our most successful teams are, you know, like Jordan says, like starts at 8 years old and kind of goes all the way through to 18. So, that's kind of a bit on the philosophy front. And you know, the crazy thing about that is even like we said, you know, they go all the way to 18, but Jordan's story of coming back and coaching, we've got actually about, I think it's 70% of our coaches have played for Aces. So it's kind of a crazy stat, and I'm an exception and an odd one out, but it's a really cool thing that a lot of the coaches have been through that process and has played either under Sammy or other coaches in the past, and understand the culture, understand the philosophy. So now they really love their childhood of soccer, and now they're trying to come back and give other players the same kind of energy and culture that they grew up in soccer and loving the game to give back. So it's a really cool thing when you look at it and see that. So
you answered my next question actually for me, Ben. I was going to ask, how do you keep the philosophy within the club growing and not lose it as coaches come in? Because I mean, some of these really small clubs to large clubs, doesn't matter where they're at, they bring in new coaches, and that sometimes the culture and the philosophy gets lost.
Yeah.
With the new incoming coaches. And sometimes when take the big club names in the Metroplex, you're constantly seeing coaches bouncing between them, and they bring their own philosophy when they come to those clubs. I think some clubs do a better job at controlling it, but with 70% coming through the program, you guys really do control the philosophy of development.
Yeah. And also, you know, we're different in those clubs where a lot of the clubs will bring in coaches that, like you say, have teams, and or they'll bring in a coach and hire them and give them a select team. So all the coaches that we bring in, we start them with academy teams, and they build their own teams through our academy. Now, once they get select, and they've got it, but you know, we've recently in the summer brought brought in David from Texas Thunder. He kind of came in with two teams, but we were really kind of, we knew him well, and Sammy knew him well for a long time, and knew that he would fit to our culture. But very rarely are we going to go and bring in other teams right in select. We really want to kind of build them from our academy, and these coaches to build in that academy side so they can kind of grow with that culture. It's a dangerous thing when, you can go in and grow and go and get teams from all over, right? But it's very then hard to make sure that they're all kind of coaching the way that the club wants to be represented, right? And wants to be, and want players to have been coming through that academy side as well. So, we have a very kind of certain way of doing it. Coaches, it kind of really doesn't matter, resume or all that. They all go through the same process of having a month evaluation, where we probably put them with at least five or six different coaches, and make sure that everybody's comfortable with this coach and thinks they fit the philosophy, and give them different kind of ages while they're in that month of evaluation. And we found out that doing that a couple of years ago really kind of gave us a great view of who was really committed to it and who was kind of just wanted to coach just to coach, right? And it was we find that, because these kids growing up, they want a consistent coach, they want somebody that they know is there for them, and it's tough. And you're always going to find coaches, unfortunately, that come and then other things come up, or they have to move or whatever. But we try and make sure that the coaches that we hire next are there for the long run. And our idea is that a coach is going to get them at U7, U8, and go all the way through and guide them to college. And that's kind of the way we do it now. I know other clubs have certain age group coaches and they work their way through that, and there's nothing wrong with that either, but we just like the fact that they grow the relationship with this coach all the way through, and it's kind of good incentive for the coach and the players that they grow together, right? So it's a cool thing to see, for sure.
Along the same line of coaches, then, do you guys help with the coaching for them to get certification? Do you guys have your own coaching process for plans and teaching and education then?
Yeah, so we we have a curriculum that we like to do, and so we want to. We've just signed with 360 Player that starts our process, July the 1st. So it's kind of an interactive system where we use, it's kind of combined with Team Snap, but it's also got kind of player evaluations on there and how we do that. It's got a curriculum that's going to be on there. We can send the sessions to the coaches. We can then see what sessions the coaches are running. Parents can go and see what sessions coaches are running. The players can look back at sessions, or they can be prepared for what they're going to be doing that day and going in and look. So it's kind of a really good all interactive platform where, it's pretty set on how we're going to coach and how we're going to develop these kids. And each age group or each kind of couple of years has got kind of a slightly different curriculum, but it helps our younger coaches, especially, as we're all about development, and obviously, coaches is no different, right? Coaches have always got to develop, and we've always got to be changing, and we always keep tweaking the curriculum and trying to as we learn and grow together. So it's an all interactive thing. Now licenses is something that we definitely push for, and different coaches courses that we want, but our biggest thing is really kind of learning off each other and helping off each other and trying to all put into that curriculum and all kind of give each other feedback, really. The licenses are I don't want to put it in a certain way, but they're very kind of titleistic, I feel like, saying you've got some, I've just done my B and about to do the A, but you learn so much more from being around the coaches, and honestly going on those courses, it's all about kind of who you meet and ideas from the places and actually the information on the course, I feel like. But you know, it's always a good thing to learn and educate off each other, for sure.
I will agree with the coaching, learning from other coaches. And do you guys then, because from the sounds that your teams stay together with the coach for such a long time, do you guys, I call it coaching swap, or have guest coaches come in with teams then to work with those teams so they hear another voice often? Or do you guys do stuff like that or something similar to that?
Those opportunities come up through a bunch of different things that we have going on a weekly basis. Like, for example, we have a street soccer that we do on, what has it been, every other Sunday?
Every other Sunday, yeah.
Every other Sunday, where, you know, it's going to be an Aces coach, but sometimes that Aces coach is going to be different to just as well. A bunch of the camps that we run, you know, we also have the German ID camp. That happens 2 times a year, where David Muller comes over and he brings some coaches with him. And it's a really, really unique experience for a lot of the players. And honestly, as a coach, I just like going out and watching so that I can pick up on some new ideas that that those coaches, you know, bring forth throughout the course of the session. So, there is variety. But I mean, you know, for the most part, on a weekly basis, you are normally just with the same coach going all the way through.
That's pretty cool. The only reason I ask is I know that in our house we have the philosophy, the more voices he hears from other people listening, my son, the better off he is, because he gets to learn from different styles, different coaches. And it's obviously, you talked about the bi-weekly street soccer and your camps and your German ID camps. So there's the opportunity, and there's the opportunity from the sounds of it for coaches to help them.
You know how crazy the schedules are with games midweek, and suddenly you've got, you know, a game here or there that you then have to miss a training session for, so you'll have another coach cover, you know, so they do get the different opportunities. And in each age group, you've also got 4 or 5 coaches, depending on, you know, our 2012s have, I think, nearly 6 teams now. 2014s, how many have you got now in Jordan? Like 5? Nearly 5.
Yeah, 4 going on 5. Yeah.
5. So, I mean, and so that's every team, you obviously have that coach. So, you know, those players can kind of at least kind of get 4 or 5 different voices at different times throughout training sessions as well. So, you know, I think it's always good to hear different voices, like you said. But it's also good to have a coach that's kind of consistently there and understands, you know, who the player is as a person as well, and how to give that advice. And, you know, it takes a while to really understand each player and how each player ticks. So I think, you know, the more you're with them and the more you understand that player's emotions and how to deal with them, then the better you can coach them, really. So there's that plus side of it as well.
Totally agree. I mean, I get having your core coach, but having coaches come in, I always find that interesting how some clubs do it, some clubs don't, or don't put an emphasis on it as much.
Yeah.
So how many coaches do you guys assign, or let me rephrase that, I said it wrong. How many teams does a coach typically get assigned?
So
usually about 2 to 3, right?
Yeah, very rare. I mean, it all just depends on how long they've been there, and you know, and how full-time they want to be into it as well. You know, we've got coaches with other big jobs during the day that will only kind of have time to do one, right? And then there's some that are kind of full-time in and want 2 or 3. But usually a new coach coming in, we're going to give one team to start with, and it'll be academy team. And then as they grow and understand how to run that team and learn from it, and we're happy with how it's gone, and if there's another opening for a team, then they can move on from that. So our trainings are scheduled either Monday, Wednesday for some teams, or Tuesday, Thursday for another team, that allows you to kind of go Monday through Thursday if you want 2 teams. Now the older teams can kind of train a little bit later from 7 to 9, and you can have one team from 5:30 onwards and kind of do back to back, and that can kind of give you the 3 teams. But, you know, no coach has more than 3 teams, you know, and only, I think only 2 coaches have 3 teams right now. So we try and really two we think that the sweet spot, but sometimes, it's hard to always find coaches that fit the bill. So, sometimes we stretch to the three, but I think to really be able to put your time and commitment into teams, you don't want to be stretched and going all the way around for 5, 6, 7 teams. I know that I find it difficult enough with two to manage. So I don't know how 5 or 6 would work, but, hey, credit to them that do that. But, that's kind of our process, that we'll start with one. If we're happy and they want to commit to more, then we'll push to two, and in rare circumstances, we'll go three. But kind of on our academy side, it's once we kind of get every 10 to 12 players, we add a coach. So you never kind of know how the growth's going to go. Sometimes you can be sat on 3 or 4 players and suddenly bang, you get up to 15 in about 2 weeks, and suddenly you're looking at, you need another coach quickly, right? So, we're looking at every 10 to 12, we want to add a new coach for that age group, just so, I think manageable, especially at the young ages, one coach for more than 12 becomes almost more like babysitting than actually being able to properly go in and coach. So we make sure we have the coaches there and the correct numbers to be able to go in and properly get forward what they want out of the session.
No, I understand. When Landon first started playing club soccer, I was a co-coach for a team and we would divide up practices. Like, I would take him for skills, he would work on the technical side of the game. At 4v4, it worked perfect because we had 13 kids and we would swap. I would take 6, then he'll have the 7, and then we'll swap the kids after 10 to 15 minutes and work on whatever we're working on. Then at the end, we'll scrimmage with all of them. So yeah, I totally agree. The smaller numbers is great for players because you keep their attention span so much better. There's no standing around.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Goodness, you guys have it down. I mean, the 1-to-2 team ratio, 1-to-3 team ratio. So as they progress, what are your roster sizes then for, let's, academies where you're learning? I mean, so a 4v4 team, how many players would you have on roster then?
For 4v4, my max, I remember when my 14s were going 4v4, I remember my max that I wanted at any game was 6, but preferably I wanted 5. It made things a lot easier and gave them a ton of touches. Now the 14s are 7v7, due to the fact that our numbers grew so quickly. We had to make the unfortunate decision to roster 12 on each one of our teams for this season. And 5 subs is probably one of the most brutal things that I think I have to deal with the 2014 team. So I'd much rather have as few subs as possible and give them as many touches as I can. Now, going into 99 this next year for that age group, I want to keep it at 12. More touches and, it just gives them as much of an ability to play as possible. Going into the later years, honestly, I think I'd pass that one over to Ben because I'd be curious what numbers he'd like, especially with his 06 team. What an ideal roster size would be.
With the academy size, with the younger ones, I think we always want, we'd rather have an extra team than too many on the bench, if that makes sense. So say we had, if we had 13, 14 players, I'd rather have, the 3 teams and the 2 teams right there. And then you can kind of have players playing on 2 teams and guest playing. And it's just more touches at that age. And the more touches they get, the better. And, you don't want kids stuck on the bench like Jordan said. So, and as they go on, you're always, the good thing about academy is they can play on multiple teams. So I think we always try and make sure we register. It's hard in academy because sometimes, you could have, say, 5 players, so you can only do 1 team. Well, suddenly in 1 week it can go up to 12 players, and you've still got 1 team. Now you're struggling, and the thing is on the spring because it's always changing. So we always try and make sure we have an extra team that almost makes sense and just allow for that growth. So we have when players come in, we've got places for them to play, and we don't just have a big bench. Now, the older you get, it's tough, and there's no perfect answer, right? And every one of our coaches has different ways. I know we've had 05 this year, had over 20 players on their roster, and they still, because of high school and injuries and all stuff, they still at sometimes had a bare 11 to play games on the weekend. So when you've got high school to deal with, it's very tough, because, you know, they're at that age where they're, I mean, some of them are training 3-4 times a day and playing kind of 4 or 5 games a week, and it's crazy, right? So you know, in a perfect world, no injuries and 11v11, you're probably looking at 15-16, but it's never a perfect world, and there's always things that happen. So I have 18 on my 06s. And when everyone's there, you're like, man, why have I got 18? But then there's games where you've got 11-12, so you can never win and be perfect. But, you know, I think it's always a good kind of conversation to start with a player, if are they going to play high school, and kind of understand what your team is and what their priorities are, because our 06 gold, not as many of them play high school. So they're much more kind of club focused, and my 06 black are much more kind of, they're all about high school, and high school is one of the biggest things if they don't want to go on to play college. Now high school is their thing, so I don't want to take that away from them. So I understood going into this that high school is going to be, you know, a big deal for them, and they're going to put a lot of time into it. So I knew I'd need a bigger squad because of that, really. But yeah, like I said, there's no perfect answer, and it's always going to look bad one way or another, really.
It's hard. I understand, like, once you get to a certain age, because you never know with injury, sickness, and school. Now, I look at it from a parent perspective. I don't want my kid riding the bench. And what advice do you give parents then when they're coming into those older ages with the larger, because they do have a larger, do you guys tend to play on more league, different types of leagues, non-competitive league, or a chance to get these kids more touches? Or is it just they're playing whatever league they're playing in and that's it?
It's like I said, every team slightly different, and each age group's different. You know, I know our 2010s, 2011s are kind of doing an RPL league as well as their classic league and stuff, and or a Sunday league, so they can combine the squads and play. I know your 08s are doing that too, Jordan, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're really thankful for leagues like RPL to give us that opportunity to, you know, be able to go in and get extra touches and, you know, be in a competitive league where, you know, you have that opportunity for, you know, let's say the players that might struggle, you know, for minutes with what would be a top roster, you know, and I love that question, Ian, of, you know, what do you say to parents who, you know, who going into those older age groups, you know, their son might not be a starter and his minutes might be a little bit less. And, you know, the one thing that, that I love to talk to parents about at that age is, you know, now it's a character thing. You know, if your son's minutes have been reduced, you know, as long as you're going to the coach and the coach is responding like we do out at ACES and explaining, you know, this is the reason why, let's say you might be getting less minutes on the field, you know, those objectives are clearly defined to the player, and then the responsibility is on the player to meet those expectations so that they can then earn their minutes. And I think that's one of the most important parts about youth sports is, you know, you earn those minutes on the field. And, you know, if you started at 20 and now you're at a point where you're a starter and you're playing a full game, man, imagine how much that does for you later on in your life when you have a difficult situation that you need to overcome. You know, you can hark back to the things that you had to overcome as a player to help push you through. And, you know, so that's a conversation that honestly it's one that I wouldn't necessarily say I look forward to when it comes to talking to parents about it, but it's one where I love giving that challenge, especially to the players, because when the players respond, I mean, you see the character development in them, and it's just really great to see.
That's awesome. Now, my son, like I said, he's a 2014. He plays with U10s currently, so he's a U9, and it's interesting when we're looking at these teams, because a lot of them will have a development competitive and then a competitive team. And I don't know if they do that in older age groups or if it's just a numbers game, because I know that kids are always leaving the sport or whatever it may be, trying to stay ahead of the curve. I mean, when I coached, we decided that we wanted to carry 14 kids was the max, but would have two teams of seven then for 4v4. And then when we went to 9v9 or 7v7, the end goal was still to keep those 14 players, but we'll share roster share, because it's all about those touches. Like if someone didn't play in one game 1 week, try to get them on that roster and have guest players between the two teams. Then the ultimate goal was to get about a core of 15 to 18 kids for 11v11 was the end goal. Like that's what we were thinking, like long-term. Now, do you guys do stuff similar for that for these younger teams, or do you guys do that currently where you guys might have a more developmental team? I heard that you, Ben, you have a gold and a black team. Is that what that is then?
Yeah, so every age group has kind of gold, black, white, silver. So basically when a player comes in, you know, we'll give them kind of 3-4 training sessions to kind of see how they do and let all kind of coaches see. And then we'll place them on the team that we think is going to be best for their development for right now. And, you know, the good thing about academy is it's so kind of, you know, flex, where you can start here on the white team and suddenly as you progress and players progress at so many different rates, right? So, you know, you could get a player that could come in and suddenly they're on the white team and a month later they're on the gold team and they've really kind of taken to it. So that's a good thing about academy. Now, once it goes to select, it's very much more that now we're in select, this is going to be your team for those 10 months. You're signing with this team. Now, you still get opportunities to guest play if you're doing well. We still have the RPL Sunday League kind of thing where we can roster share and stuff and have different games with different players, but you're still the main focus of that 10 months is your team that you're now in. And yeah, so depends on the age group. Some age groups we've got, you know, just a gold and a black team. Some age groups we go all the way down to kind of silver and blue, and so it just depends on the age group right now. But yeah, academy is much more kind of flexible. And then once you kind of go select, you're signing with that team for those 10 months and you're committed to that, but there's still opportunities to guest play and play other leagues that are much more kind of developmental, I'd say.
Hey, thank you for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Chat by the Pitch. Ben and Jordan were great to talk to, and this episode is part 1 of 3. The next one's about the same length in time, but let's keep the chat, and until next time, see you at the pitch.